Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I am joined by Sherry Payne. She's the Director of Operations for Peace Health Medical Group, Peace Harbor Hospital, and Dr. Heather MacArthur from Peace Harbor Medical Director. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with an update on vaccinations at Peace Harbor. Now, I know the governor has been touting this 12,000 a day thing, of course, which isn't really applicable for us. We're not going to get that many per day. And in fact, they haven't been able to steadily keep that. But how have they been going here at Peace Harbor? This is for Dr. MacArthur.
Sure. So I just checked this morning to be absolutely sure. We have 380 vaccinations that we've done for employees and others that met that 1A criteria that the governor had designated. And this morning, we were really excited to be able to start our second dose clinics. We received our second doses yesterday. And so this week, we'll hope to have our first group done, about 90 more people done by Saturday. And then next week will be a big push. All of those that were obviously vaccinated with their first dose right around Christmas time will be getting their second dose in the next week.
So some of you have just now had your second dose. So we're really not into that, fully yet. But as the week progresses, that'll become more and more evident, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I just came from getting my second dose about an hour ago. So
now, are you seeing any significant side effects or adverse reactions? And like I said, with the second dose, you can't really tell yet. But have you had any major complaints so far?
With our 380, we had about 10 people who complained of some significant arm soreness. I think a lot of people had arm soreness, but more so than the average. We had a few people get a little bit of some red raised area, perhaps some headaches was the big complaint that we had. But other than that, we didn't have, thankfully, any of those severe anaphylactic reactions that you've heard of occasionally. None of our employees had any of those experiences here.
Now, Dr. MacArthur, my understanding is that some people with the second dose seem to have greater side effects. Do you know of what some of those are? Or obviously, we can't talk about here because we just now started, but have you heard any of that information?
Absolutely. In fact, we anticipate probably about 30% of those that get this second vaccine will have a much more profound response to it. And we expect that because with any vaccine, we want to have the body mount an appropriate immune response. And so that immune response is going to consist of the body having fever, muscle aches, perhaps a little bit of a headache. And so that response indicates that your body is mounting that immunity, building those antibodies to it's the spike protein. It's not truly, we're not giving a COVID virus. We're getting the spike protein, but you're building the antibodies. And so your body's going to have that immune response. And so with the first vaccine, what they found in research was about 50% of those that received the first vaccine were able to get that immunity that was needed. With this second vaccine, about 95% with Moderna and Pfizer. And so we do expect people to have a better immune response because they are getting that immunity. So we do expect to see some fevers, headaches, muscle soreness. A few people might even get a little bit nauseated, but for the most part, those effects have been controlled by taking some over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen, Tylenol, staying hydrated and resting, and just being able to stay home for a day or two and recovering.
It sounds, though, like it's very similar to some reactions you might get from a typical flu vaccine, though.
Absolutely. In fact, it's almost identical to getting a flu vaccine. And it's that same idea that your body is able to mount that immune response, and we would expect to have that kind of reaction.
Now, Sherry, it's all over the news. I mean, nationwide, people are going, when. Obviously, there's been a shortage of doses that were supposed to be coming to the state of Oregon, and we found out that that's going to be delayed a little bit. Are you getting a lot of people asking when it's my turn?
Yes, we are getting many, many phone calls. We are also having patients going into the My Peace Health portal and scheduling themselves for appointments with their providers to get the vaccination. And we're having to work those and go in and cancel them because we do not have the vaccination to give at this time. And so it is causing additional work. And I understand that there is a lot of concern from the community about wanting to get the vaccine. And we share that concern. We are actively preparing to be able to give the vaccine as soon as we have it here in Florence, and we'll be contacting patients and working with marketing and communications to get that message out about how people can get vaccinated once we have the vaccine.
So the number of doses, like I said, has been limited. Dr. MacArthur, with the amount of doses we have, do you have enough to take care of second doses here?
Thankfully, yes. We did receive our full allocation, the amount that we'd ordered. So we're going to be able to give all the second doses that we have. And then we should be able to finish that first 1A initial group, and we have been putting out our request constantly, hoping to hear back soon about those doses that are going to be able to support our at-risk population, support those within our community that we know are so vulnerable. And as soon as we get those medications, Sherry and I have been working along with a team here in Florence who are just so excited to be able to support our community, and the number of people who are just behind us trying so hard and wanting to get everyone vaccinated. All we're waiting for is vaccine. I feel like that quarterback, you know, you're sitting on the sidelines waiting, please coach, give me the ball. I think everyone's just, please just hand us this vaccine so that we can do this and support our community. And I'm so grateful for those within our hospital system here at our campus that have been working diligently to do the paperwork and the request necessary to try to get vaccine. We just have not seen that come yet from the state.
Dr. MacArthur, the vaccines are obviously fragile to a point, and the Moderna is not necessarily as bad as, or not as bad as the Pfizer version of it. Have you guys had any problem with storage, or have you had any loss due to extended periods of time being out?
No, That's a great question, George. We've had no loss. And in fact, we've been able to do a excellent job of having absolutely no wasted vaccine whatsoever. Our team has done a phenomenal job of not only maintaining the storage as it's supposed to be, but just in time getting out the next vial for when it's needed, bringing it to temperature, and then having the number of caregivers ready to receive the vaccine so that there's not been a single dose wasted.
Oh, that's good, because after one of our COVID-19 updates that we do on Tuesdays, I had a caller call me and say, I hear they're sending back doses that they're not using. And I said, no, I don't think that's the case. I think they've got pretty much everything cordoned off and set right here. So I'm guessing
absolutely not. And as soon as we can, if we have any remaining, obviously we would want to get that out to our community as soon as possible. So as soon as we're able to and we have vaccine available, we will be going forward with our community vaccination process.
All right. I'm speaking with Dr. Heather MacArthur, Peace Harbor Medical Director, and Sherry Payne, Director of Operations at Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor. And we'll be back. We'll talk about positive cases and see what's happening with them right after this.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission. During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
All right, we're back with Doc Talk now, and I'm speaking with Sherry Payne, who is the Director of Operations at Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor, and Dr. Heather MacArthur at Peace Harbor. She's a Peace Harbor Medical Director. Now, Sherry, what are you seeing at Peace Harbor and the Peace Harbor Medical Group clinics in terms of people coming in to be tested? Is that leveling off, or what are we seeing as far as positive cases go? I know we've seen a lot in the news from Lane County Public Health lately.
Yes. So we did have pretty significant spikes for about 3 weeks here. We are seeing a decline in the positive COVID-19 testing that's coming back this week. So that's good. We are still doing routine testing for procedures that people need to have done. But what they're seeing in the walk-in clinic right now is there is still some upper respiratory infections. There's some coughing congestion. But they're also seeing a resumption of just normal services. We've been doing more exams that people need for CDL licenses. We've been doing a few more sports physicals and school physicals for kids. And so we are seeing some of those volumes return. The providers that I spoke with in there have not seen a positive flu test come back yet this year. So I also wanted to share that. And then, of course, Dr. MacArthur, she works in the emergency department as well. And so she would be able to speak to what they're seeing there.
All right, Dr. MacArthur, I understand that because of the wide variety of symptoms that can show themselves in this, people may think they have one of the symptoms and want to come in and get tested. Are you seeing people that maybe look like they're symptomatic that are coming back with negative tests?
We are. There's actually been quite, as with any virus, and one of my, I think you've interviewed Dr. Peltz and Dr. Omisher before, but Dr. Omisher, who's one of our infectious disease specialists, said wonderfully that there were lots of viruses before COVID and there will be lots of viruses after COVID. And so just remember that there are lots of viruses out there. Of course, COVID is the most common in our community right now and the most common in our world. And so we are having lots of people come in with symptoms and we're testing them and we're finding lots of people who are not testing positive for COVID. I think one of the challenges that we're having, though, is that our testing obviously is limited by whether or not you're, we've used this phrase before, George, shedding virus, and whether or not you're producing enough virus to have a positive test. And so we're only as good as our testing. And we continue to try to be vigilant, encourage mask wearing and hand washing and social distancing. There are people out there who don't have any symptoms at all that could be infected with the coronavirus and could be passing that on to others. And so I don't think that just a negative test means to put down your guard. I think it's really important to keep that guard up no matter what.
And, you know, we still have a lot of naysayers out there and people, you know, refusing to wear masks and things like that. And when I talked to Dr. Bob Peltz, he said that, maybe it was Jason Davis with Lane County Public Health. He sort of described the difference between the flu vaccine or the flu virus and the coronavirus in the sense that someone had said to me, well, how come we're not seeing any flu, but we're seeing all these coronavirus, yet people are wearing masks? And I sort of associated that with the difference between a light mist of a rain and a heavy downpour, and that the coronavirus is more like a light mist, which kind of hangs in the air, whereas the flu virus kind of drops a little more quickly. So the masks are actually even more effective, probably, against the flu virus. Would that be correct?
That's a very good description, absolutely. We're talking about droplet spread and the size of the virus as it spread through coughing, sneezing, singing. And so absolutely, influenza, the virus that causes the flu, is more readily stopped by a mask than the coronavirus is definitely stopped by mask wearing and by social distancing. But influenza is very easily stopped by mask wearing, which is why we are seeing that spread contained. We're not seeing influenza this year because of that. It's why in the 1918 flu pandemic, influenza was stopped so quickly by mask wearing, and we're definitely struggling a little bit with coronavirus because of the size of the virus and the way that it spreads. It's also, I think, as you well pointed out, we're definitely struggling with those naysayers out there who continue to have their group gatherings and continue to not wear masks and continue to not participate in those things that might help us and the public in general to prevent the spread of the virus.
Now, I know this is a question that I shouldn't have to ask because we know how important this is. But once people get vaccinated, can they stop worrying about masking? And I know the answer to this.
No, they can't.
I knew that.
I love that. I was going to say, you can answer too, right? That absolutely they can't. And unfortunately, the way that this vaccine works is it helps you build the immunity to be able to stop the infection. And so the infection could still enter in your body, then you're able to build that immunity and stop that infection. It doesn't mean that you can't still carry the virus somehow and spread it to someone else for a short time. And so we definitely want to make sure that we are still masking and still hand washing, still doing those things to prevent the spread until we better understand how well the vaccines are going to work and how we talked about herd immunity before, right? And making sure that throughout the community, we have enough people who have either been vaccinated or have developed antibodies and are immune. At some point, we hopefully will get there. We're definitely not there yet.
Now, Sherry, this question is for you, and it's not on our list here, so I'm going to kind of throw this one out here. My understanding is that hospitalizations are people that need to be hospitalized are being transported to Riverbend. But are you guys doing a good bit of training in case you have to care for patients there?
So, George, I know that we are doing quite a bit of training, but since that is a hospital-based question, I would just prefer that could we send that over to Dr. MacArthur?
Okay, sure, I can do that.
Sure.
Dr. MacArthur, Well, yes, I figure because employee related, I thought maybe Sherry would have, but that's okay. You are doing a lot of training then, ongoing.
We are, and we actually just discussed it this morning again. So we have a plan in place, and if we get to the point that we're not able to transfer patients, say that our sister facilities in Eugene or up and down the I-5 corridor are not able to accept our patients because they become overwhelmed and are so busy, then we do have plans in place to be able to keep a patient here for a short time until those beds were to become available, or obviously longer if the situation were to be catastrophic and we weren't able to transfer someone. And so those plans are in place and we have been training on them to make sure that the physicians, the nurses, the housekeeping staff, the respiratory therapists, the pharmacists, everyone is able to be able to support that. We also have a We've done what we need to be able to have the medications to be able to support that process as well, so that we, for example, when we have a COVID positive patient in the emergency room, which we've had several, we've been able to start the medication treatment that they need as they've waited for a transfer to our sister facility, and be able to get that medication treatment going so that that isn't delayed in the process of transferring them there. So we are doing what we can to support that process and give the proper care to those patients.
All right, before we take another break, I want to ask this next question. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Early in the pandemic, you saw a drop in ED visits and cancellations, but also scheduled surgeries too had to be halted. Are you seeing a light bit of non-essential surgeries happening now, or is that getting back up to scale?
So we are able, we're scheduling non-essential surgeries right now, and we're getting close to being back up to scale on that. So there are still, of course, we respect everybody's wishes as far as what patients feel comfortable with, but with the testing that we're doing before procedures are happening, we have been able to resume those cases.
Okay, because I kind of wondered, because with the spike in positive cases that we've seen here, people might be a little less likely to go ahead and schedule something that they may need to get done. So that's why I was curious about that.
I think that there is still some people who are uncomfortable coming in for elective procedures and visits, but there's a good amount of people who are more comfortable and willing to proceed.
Okay. I'm speaking with Sherry Payne, Director of Operations at Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor, and Dr. Heather MacArthur, who is the Medical Director at Peace Harbor. And we'll be back with a few more questions for both of them right after this.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission. During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I have the pleasure of speaking with Sherry Payne, the Director of Operations for Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor Hospital, and Dr. Heather MacArthur, the Peace Harbor Medical Director. And on this edition of Doc Talk, we're talking about the COVID-related issues that are happening right now and what's happening with the hospital. Either one of you want to answer this. What lies ahead for Peace Harbor in 2021? Maybe new providers joining the team, new plans for upgrades or equipment upgrades?
Sure. So I can speak to the hospital side, and then Sherry, if you want to give some updates about the clinic, that'd be fantastic. For the providers, we have several new providers that have just started, which was very exciting. We had two new certified nurse anesthetists that have started to support our anesthesia team, and they're doing a wonderful job. We have a new dermatologist, a nurse practitioner of dermatology, who started, Melissa Dare, and she's doing a fantastic job supporting our community. We're very excited to have her. And then we've added to our palliative care team, who Corey Gibbons, who's just been fantastic addition there. We have some new hospitalists that are going to be starting to support our inpatient hospital services over the next few months. And we're still looking to expand our behavioral health services. So there's some things coming in the near future there. And then for the equipment-wise, we've been able to get some new equipment for the operating room, including new surgical equipment and new anesthesia equipment. We have the ongoing seismic upgrade that's happening, and that should be done by the summer. And then one thing I'm really excited about is, as an emergency physician, we're going to be getting a new CT scanner, that CAT scanner that everyone hears about, and it's going to basically be upgraded to a higher number of slices. What that means for us is we'll be able to provide especially new ability to do cardiac studies here, and we'll be able to support those cardiac evaluations that the cardiologists are needing to increase our cardiac services here. And so maybe Sherry, you could address the expansion of cardiac services that we're offering here now, or soon, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely. So we are going to be doing some virtual appointments with cardiology through our clinics, with a quick pathway to get patients seen with a referral from an ED physician primarily, but could also end up being primary care physicians at some point. And basically, they will be coming into our office. We'll have a medical assistant working with them here on site, performing any tests that need to be done, such as an EKG, and taking their vital signs and assisting that cardiologist who's working out of the Springfield office, but they're doing the visit remotely and over video. And so we're very excited about that, so that patients are getting in sooner and not having to do that drive over to Springfield, and that we're able to help them with that. So
it's interesting. I the way medicine is changing and developing, and the way we're doing new things. All one day I see someone at home with their computer plugged up to it with their body and reading vitals from there. For some reason, I just see that coming soon. Sherry, is there still a provider shortage, or is that getting filled up now with some of these new folks that are coming on?
So we are still recruiting for new providers. That is still something that here in Florence, we've just learned that's a continuous process for us. We will be recruiting actively so that we have enough coverage for our community. But we have several providers that are taking new patients right now. And patients are able to get assigned by calling into the clinic. There's also a direct number that they can call and request assignment. That's 541-902-6931. And they're getting in once they've been assigned to that primary care provider, generally within 1 to 3 weeks, depending on who the provider is. So we have been able to add lots of patients to our practices. We've also seen our geographic area of where we're covering change a little bit with the changes that have occurred since the coronavirus and over the past year. We've seen a need from patients in communities like Reedsport and other areas reaching out to us more for primary care, and have been addressing that need too and getting them established. So those are some changes that have happened.
Now, you're still in the middle of doing some reconstruction for seismic upgrades. Dr. MacArthur, is that wrapping up? How much longer do you have to go? What's the timeline?
So right now they're working diligently on the operating room, and hopefully everything should be done with the couple more phases that they have left to do. I'm told that early summer is the plan for completion.
Okay, that's good. Now, before we go, I want to back up and talk a little bit more about the COVID-19 thing. I know a lot of people out there have questions, and they don't necessarily get to get them answered because of their schedule or because they can't get through or something. Dr. MacArthur, what are some of the biggest questions you're hearing, and some of the quick answers that you could give to a couple of those?
Sure. I think the ones that I've been hearing the most are, should I get the vaccine? Is the vaccine safe? I hear that a lot. And how does the vaccine work? I've gotten that as well. And then, should I bother with these masking and hand washing and do these efforts actually make a difference? So I would say the big thing for me and why I chose to get the vaccine myself was that, yes, the vaccine does work. The technology that was developed to make these vaccines possible is really an amazing undertaking that was started to be able to fight other viruses and to fight cancer. And the fact that technology was able to be utilized so quickly to provide this ability to fight COVID really is an amazing accomplishment, I think, in our modern times. I think the challenge that we're facing now is the fact that I've been hearing a lot of questions about this new variant of the virus, the mutations that the virus has had. And so that question I hear often. What I would say is the vaccine is what we know right now is a vaccine is effective, and those vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, that we have out currently, they are effective. We believe they will still be effective even with the variants of the virus. The way that viruses work, they're constantly looking for opportunities to change themselves, and that's happened throughout time. And the vaccines as they currently stand, they do have the ability, at least up to this point, as far as the research is showing us, to be able to still provide the antibodies that will fight the virus in the state that it is in, even with the multiple types of, as the you use the word, strains or variants that are out there. And so the like the flu that changes periodically over time, we're looking at probably having to have vaccine perhaps every year as we go forward, just like the flu, that will have a little bit of a modification to be able to adapt to the virus and just try to stay ahead of it so that we have a immunity going forward. That's what I anticipate. I think that it's important for every person to be able to look at the science behind this, to make those decisions for themselves. And if they have questions, to ask their medical professionals about how that the implication of taking the vaccine for themselves and what the safety concerns are for their personal needs, whether they have some kind of immunocompromise, if they're pregnant, if they're on some kind of medications that might be a question for them, and then make sure that they've weighed those concerns. But for the most part, what we found is that the way that this vaccine works, or Moderna and Pfizer at least specifically, that they have been proven to be, for the most part, quite safe and very effective. And so my answer has been to encourage the use of that. But I also encourage everyone to make sure that they do their own homework and to feel comfortable with whatever choice that they're going to make. And then remembering that I hear a lot about, well, I already had COVID, do I need the vaccine? We really don't know how long immunity lasts once you get the vaccine, or I'm sorry, once you get the infection. And so we've seen a variation of immunity with exposure to the COVID virus. And so some people's immunity may not last very long and may not give them immunity, definitely not lifetime immunity. And so it's important that they get the vaccine to be able to help give them immunity to prevent them from reinfection. So lots of questions like that, George. Does that answer the question, or do you have any other questions?
No, it absolutely does. And with that, I will remind people that this evening online, Lane County Public Health is having a town hall for those questions and answers that you might not have heard here today. You can check that out, a Lane County Government Facebook page and their website. Peace Health's Dr. James McGovern will be on the panel along with other community health care leaders. I want to thank you both for being with me this morning. A lot of good information out there. And I know that hopefully we will ease some people's tension and stress about this whole situation. Sherry Payne, Director of Operations, Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor Hospital, and Dr. Heather MacArthur, Peace Harbor Medical Director. Thank you both for being here this morning.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
And that's our January 2021 edition of Doc Talk. Thank you for joining us.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.